Now, please open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. It's just after the pastoral epistles, just after 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon. Just before the book of Hebrews, there's this short little letter of Paul's. And very interesting, but a very wonderful book that Paul writes. It is perhaps the most pastoral and applicational book in the Bible. A very, very helpful book. And so we will read this whole letter of the book of Philemon. This is God's inerrant and infallible word. Please give it your full attention. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You may be seated. I always love this time of year with March Madness and all the college basketball games and my favorite basketball team, the North Carolina Tar Heels. The best basketball player of all time, of course, played for the Tar Heels. And I think I've told you all this before, that growing up, I wanted to be just like Michael Jordan. And there was a Gatorade commercial that, you know, pretty much summarized exactly how I felt in those days. And the song in the commercial said, "Sometimes I dream that he is me. You got to see, that's how I dream to be. I dream I move, I dream I groove like Mike. If I could be like Mike." I wanted to be just like Mike. And the message of the commercial was basically, if you want to be like Michael Jordan, then drink a lot of Gatorade. And so I drank a lot of Gatorade. But I didn't quite become like Mike. That was probably for the better, I guess. But in this letter to Philemon, it is evident that Paul wants to be just like Christ. In fact, in the scenario between Philemon and his runaway slave Onesimus, Paul acted as a sacrificial mediator between the two, similar to the way Christ has sacrificially mediated between God and us. Not identically, but similarly. Now, in this letter, Paul also urges Philemon to be just like Christ. Paul wanted to be an imitator of Christ, and he wanted others to imitate Christ as well. In fact, we could say that this letter is really a living example of Paul's command in several places, but we might take, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ." Now, many have wondered why this letter has been preserved and placed in the canon of our Bibles, because it has no real definitive, well, so they say, it has no real definitive statement on the redemptive accomplishment of Christ in history. No clear commands or instructions on how the church is to conduct itself. And it appears to be simply a letter to a friend requesting a favor. But in reality, this letter gives us a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ being lived out by his followers. And so in this manner, it is making really a very bold statement about who Christ is and what he has done and how we ought to live now in light of it. The introduction of this letter displays that Paul is the author along with Timothy. Most likely Paul is the author and Timothy is sort of the scribe. He's the one recording it for him. The letter is addressed to Philemon, who lives in Colossae, the same place that receives Paul's letter to the Colossians. And the letter is also addressed to Apphia and Archippus, who are probably Philemon's wife and son. But it's also important to note that it is addressed to the church in Philemon's home. Did you see that? It seems like there's this personal matter between, you know, Onesimus and Philemon, and Paul's writing to Philemon about it, but yet he also addresses the whole church that meets in Philemon's home. You see, the letter was to be read first and foremost by Philemon and his family, but it was also to be read in the church. Along with all of Paul's letters that we have in the Bible, it was to be circulated to all the churches. And this is important to understand because we need to realize that this book is for the edification of the whole church, and not just for Philemon and his family. Now, Paul concludes the greeting of this letter with a typical salutation, just as we do each Lord's Day when we meet together. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in the next part of the letter, Paul gives another typical feature that is common to his letters, which is a prayer of thanksgiving. And as he does so, he begins to describe the respect that he has for Philemon. In other words, he begins to describe the affections and the appreciation that he has for Philemon. He tells him that he prays for him because of the love that he has for the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And in his prayer, he also tells Philemon, in verse 7, that he has received joy and comfort from his love because of the refreshment that it has brought to the saints. In fact, the introduction of this letter even provided one example of how Philemon had brought refreshment to the saints. Back in verse 2, we learned that Philemon had opened up his house so that the church could meet there and worship the Lord. Philemon had apparently made many valuable contributions to God's people and had been a blessing to them. And so Paul writes to him in order to let him know of his appreciation and of his respect for him. But in writing these things, in letting him know of his respect, Paul also is looking ahead to the request that he's going to make of Philemon. He wants Philemon to consider his own loving attitude toward the saints, because Paul is going to request that Philemon continue this loving attitude toward someone else, someone who had wronged Philemon. And he has the same idea in mind in verse 6 when he writes, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." Now, the wording here for sharing, "I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective." That word there, sharing, can also be translated fellowship or partnership or even generosity. And I think generosity here fits the context the best. And so what Paul is praying for is that Philemon's generosity in Christ toward the saints will lead him to a deeper knowledge of every good thing, every blessing in Christ. You see, Paul's prayer has a view toward the request that he is going to make of Philemon. The more Philemon reflects on the blessings that he himself has in Christ, the more inclined he will be to continue to extend his generosity, his unselfishness, and refreshing attitude as Paul asks this favor of him. So what is Paul's request of Philemon? Well, Paul wants Philemon to receive Onesimus, his former slave. He wants him to receive him back just as he would receive Paul if Paul were to come to him. Why does Paul make such a strong appeal for Onesimus? Well, the answer to that lies in the circumstances that brought Paul and Onesimus together. You see, Onesimus was a bond servant or a slave who had run away from his master Philemon, stealing from him in order to fund his own getaway. Most likely that getaway was to Rome, which is where he likely meets Paul. Now, some speculate that this is actually in Ephesus, where Paul is on house arrest, but most scholars agree that it's during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Now, when Onesimus encounters Paul, Paul begins to share the gospel with him and then becomes a believer. And this is why in verse 10, Paul calls him his child whom he fathered in his imprisonment. And Paul became his father, you see, in the faith. And Paul frequently speaks like this of those that he leads to the faith. And apparently Onesimus had been very helpful to him during his imprisonment, to the extent that Paul wishes he could have kept Onesimus with him. But in verse 14, we see that Paul realizes that it would not be the right thing to do in this particular situation, since Philemon is his master. And so Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon along with this letter, and he wants Philemon to accept Onesimus back on the basis of love and forgiveness. Onesimus had wronged his master by stealing from him and running away, and Paul knows that the right thing to do then is to send him back. But he also knows that Philemon's hard feelings towards Onesimus are to be expected. And so the heart of Paul's request in this letter is a full reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. Reconciliation is actually the main theme of the whole letter. Now, all throughout this letter, Paul has been giving Philemon his reasoning for why he should be reconciled to Onesimus. And we can note four different reasons why Philemon should accept Onesimus back with love and forgiveness. First, as we've already briefly mentioned, Philemon has been a blessing to the saints, and he should continue to do that now with Onesimus. You see, in verses 4 through 6, Paul praises Philemon for his love and faith toward Christ and toward all the saints, as well as for his generosity that had refreshed the hearts of the saints there in Colossae. Now, by reminding Philemon of these things, he was insinuating that he should now do the same for Onesimus. If you've been generous, loving, and refreshing to all the saints, well, Philemon is now a believer in Christ. He's now a brother in Christ. So do that now for your brother Onesimus. In other words, Philemon, you have been gifted to bless God's people. So do that now with Onesimus. That brings us to Paul's second reason. Onesimus is now a Christian. He wasn't when he ran away, but he too is a saint in Christ Jesus. Paul tells Philemon that Onesimus is now his child in the faith. In verse 11, Paul says, "Formerly he, Onesimus, was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me." Now, Paul's actually employing here a play on words, because Onesimus, the word Onesimus, his name in Greek, actually means useful. And so what Paul is saying here is that formerly, before Onesimus was converted, he was useless to you, Philemon, having stolen from you and having run away. But now, in light of the transforming power of the gospel, he truly is Onesimus. That is, he is now useful both to me, both to Paul, me, Paul, and to you, Philemon, as a brother in Christ. In fact, Paul goes on to attribute Onesimus' flight to the sovereign discretion of God in verse 15, saying, "Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother." In other words, perhaps it was the Lord's purpose in allowing Onesimus to run away so that he might come to know Christ. And then Philemon, you might have him back for all of eternity as a brother. Now, this does not necessarily mean that Onesimus would no longer be Philemon's bondservant. We must be careful not to attribute our modern day notions of slavery back on this biblical situation. We often think of slavery with a very negative connotation today, and perhaps rightly so, because of our early American history and its negative dealings with slavery. But in biblical times, often someone would become a bondservant or a slave to pay off a debt or to escape extreme poverty. And so in some cases, it would have been better for a person to be a bondservant or to be a slave than their situation might be otherwise. And so what Paul is likely saying here is probably something more like this. This happened so that you would have him back no longer as just a bondservant, but also as a brother. Or even better, he was parted from you just as a slave, but he is coming back to you as something much more, a brother in Christ. And that relationship will never be severed, not here nor in the hereafter. And that is God's marvelous design, Paul is saying. And so, Onesimus, accept him back, not just in the flesh. That is, Philemon, accept Onesimus back, not just in the flesh. In other words, not just in terms of your human relationship, but also as a brother in Christ. And Paul's third reason is that Philemon should accept Onesimus just as he would receive Paul himself. In verse 17, Paul states, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me." Now the word here for partner is that same word that we looked at just a moment ago in Paul's prayer, which can take the meaning of sharing or fellowship, generosity, partnership. And partnership is how he uses it here. It takes the meaning of both sharing and partnership, really. Paul and Philemon had partnered together in the past, sharing in the ministry together for the sake of the gospel. His treatment toward Paul as one who shares in ministry should be the same treatment that he now gives Onesimus as he returns. Notice in verse 12, he says, "I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart." And this is really an emphatic way for Paul to say, "Philemon, as I send you Onesimus, I am sending back a part of myself, my very own heart." And so to reject Onesimus would have been for Philemon to reject Paul. Though they had shared in ministry together, though they were partners in the ministry, he wants Philemon to think of Onesimus in this way. To reject Onesimus would be to reject Paul, Paul's very own heart, as Philemon is like a part of Paul himself. And therefore, Paul is reasoning with Philemon to consider how he would receive him, and he wants him to extend that same type of welcoming to Onesimus. In light of this request, Paul also tells Philemon toward the close of this letter that he hopes to be released from prison, that he might come to visit Philemon. And so he asks Philemon to prepare for me a room. Start preparing now for my return to you. And so, if you think about what Philemon would be doing as he's preparing this room for Paul, in his mind is going to be this letter that's asking him to receive Onesimus as he receives Paul. And so as Philemon prepares that room, he's thinking, "I need to receive this brother back, even though he has offended me. I need to receive him just as I'm about to receive Paul when he returns." Now, the fourth and final reason Paul gives Philemon to receive Onesimus back is that the Lord had done the same for him. Remember back to the prayer when he prayed that the sharing or the generosity of Philemon's faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing or of every good blessing. He was praying that Philemon would reflect on the blessings that he had received in Christ. Paul prays to God, thanking him for those blessings. He mentions those blessings in the prayer. And in doing so, it's bringing to Philemon's mind all the blessings that Christ has given to him. And he does so that he would grant, that Philemon would grant others the same blessings, especially now with Onesimus. And Paul is, in effect, doing the same thing down in verse 20 when he says, "Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." The request he is making of Philemon is one he wants him to make in Christ, in the Lord. In other words, he wants Philemon to consider who he is in Christ and what Christ has done for him, and to now do the same for Onesimus, for that would be refreshing to Paul. Paul does similar things in other letters. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." And then also in that same epistle in chapter 5, he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us." See, this is the heart of what Paul is asking of Philemon as he receives Onesimus. Do what Christ has done for you. Be an imitator of God. Love Onesimus because God has first loved you. Forgive Onesimus because God has forgiven you. Give grace to Onesimus because God has given grace to you. Receive Onesimus back because God has received you back through Jesus Christ, who as our mediator brought you reconciliation with God. Therefore, be reconciled to Onesimus. Be an imitator of God. Now, there may be no better imitator of God, no better imitator of Christ than Paul himself in this letter. He does something absolutely amazing in verses 17 through 19. He writes, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it." And right here, Paul could not have reflected the gospel of Jesus Christ being lived out in his own life any better. Those scholars who have questioned whether or not this letter should be in the canon of our Bible must have failed to see the picture of the gospel that Paul gives us right here. You see, in mediating between Philemon and Onesimus, Paul pleads on behalf of Onesimus that he might be received back by Philemon, his master. Onesimus has wronged his master. He has sinned against his master. He had stolen from him and run away. And so Paul sacrificially says to Philemon, "Charge it to my account. I will repay it. What he's taken from you, I will repay it." He says, "I write this with my own hand." I can just see Paul telling Timothy, "Okay, give me the pen. Give me the pen and paper. Give it to me so that I can write this down." He needs to see that I will repay whatever debt Onesimus owes him. I will put it in my own handwriting. And beloved, this is Paul imitating Christ's reconciling work on the cross. Just like Onesimus, we have wronged our master and sinned against the God of the universe. But Christ, the mediator between God and man, took our debt upon himself, and he went on our behalf to the cross. And when he did, he was in effect saying, Father, charge it to my account. Theirs, charge it to my account. I know they've wronged you, but charge it to my account. I will repay it. And he did. And he said, it is finished. He paid it. My friends, Christ is the only way to be reconciled to God. He's the only one who could pay that debt. God has provided a way for you to have peace with Him, and that is through His own Son, Jesus Christ. If you look to any other, you will find no, absolutely no peace with God. It is only by turning to Jesus Christ that you might be reconciled to God. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this letter, Paul is essentially saying, like Christ, if I could be like Christ. See, Paul knows that he's received his own blessings from Christ, and he too wants to live those out. Paul knows that we who have been reconciled to God, that we now have a ministry of reconciliation, that we are to live out in our lives. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, those are beautiful words, but Paul doesn't just write those words there to be theologically eloquent, or because it's some type of wishful thinking. No, here in this letter to Philemon, he is showing us how we can live these words out in our lives. You see, first in this letter, we learn that Paul has shared the gospel with Onesimus so that he might be reconciled to God. And then he works to bring reconciliation between two brothers in Christ. And this is why Paul can encourage others to imitate him as he imitates Christ. You see, as we examine this letter, we should conclude that we ought to imitate all of the main characters in this letter. We should imitate Philemon, because Philemon had been generous, loving, and refreshing to all the saints. Now, we don't have an actual account of how he received Onesimus back, but I think we can assume that he did, in fact, receive him back in a right condition. If not, we probably could assume that there'd be a second Philemon, and we have no such letter. In fact, many scholars, including John Knox, believed that church history suggests to us that he was received in a right condition, but because it appears that this very same Onesimus wound up becoming the bishop at Ephesus. It's hard to know if it's the same Onesimus or not. Letters in church history seem to suggest that it is. But regardless, it is safe to assume that Onesimus was received back in a right condition. And therefore, beloved, we should imitate Philemon, because he loved and forgave Onesimus, just as God had loved and forgiven him. Is this not, after all, how the Lord taught us to pray, that we should ask for forgiveness just as we have forgiven others? We should also imitate Onesimus, who had the courage to go to the one that he had wronged and to ask for forgiveness. He knew that he had sinned against his master, and he had the courage to stand before him and to say, "Forgive me, brother, for I wronged you, I sinned against you." And we should imitate Onesimus because he lived out the power of a transformed life in Christ. Paul said that prior to Onesimus' conversion, he was useless, but now on account of the gospel, he became what his name said he was. He became Onesimus. He became useful, especially to Paul, who discussed what a blessing he had been to him during his imprisonment. We should all be Onesimuses, being useful to those around us for the sake of the gospel. Think of the way he was so useful to Paul in his imprisonment. An officer in the church, he was useful to him. He was now going to go to be useful to Philemon. How have you been useful to those around you for the benefit of the gospel? Be imitators, beloved, of Onesimus. But of course, we should be imitators of Paul, who always shared the gospel that others might be reconciled to God. And so be an imitator of Paul, who did everything he could to make peace between believers that needed to be reconciled to one another. Be imitators of Paul, beloved, who was an imitator of Christ. Be imitators of Christ. And let the commercial of your life say, "Like Christ, if I could be like Christ." To him be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Our most gracious God, we thank you for reconciling us in Christ. For just as it says there in 2 Corinthians, you did not hold our sins against us, but were reconciling us to you through Christ. Because Christ indeed took our sins upon himself. He paid our debt. We thank you for this wonderful gospel, and we pray that it will be effectual in our lives so that we might live out its effects. Just as Paul did here in this passage, just as Onesimus and Philemon did as well. Lord, make us to be like them only in so much as they are like Christ. And so make us like Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.